severe case of gently, if you can sleep calmer and some. And giving your prayers to help you rest, that would be appreciated. Around the world, the devotees of ISKCON have celebrated this year as Srila Prabhupada's centennial anniversary. And one of the ways in which we primarily give our devotion and loyalty to Prabhupada is by maintaining his instruction to us to distribute books. Shosastri Maharaj has written book, distribute books, which elaborates some of the remembrances of various St. Kirtan devotees. I had the good fortune, of course, of having received many encouraging words and instructions from Srila Prabhupada regarding book distribution. I've tried, as far as possible, to include many of those in the book Servant of the Servant. And I've dedicated that book especially to disciples that they might push on the Sankirtan movement. But I think that anyone, never mind whose disciple they may be, I hope will find inspiration from reading Prabhupada's letters, which are in that book that he had written to me, and my recollections and realizations which surround those letters. My first tangible interaction with Prabhupada after he initiated me was on the basis of Sankirtan book distribution. The first personal meeting I had with Prabhupada was on the basis of book distribution. He told me that Krishna has given you the ability to organize. So you please organize the movement, help to organize the movement. And he said these words, and his attention was drawn to that ability of mine because he had seen that I was able to organize a Sankirtan party. And throughout the years of my dealings with Prabhupada, again and again, there were opportunities in which I had the chance to organize Sankirtan book distribution, and Prabhupada found it very pleasing. When we think about Prabhupada's primary activity, I think the most essential activity of all, perhaps we have to say equal to two activities. One, the organization and creation of ISKCON, and two, the writing of his books. If we look at these two, in a sense, they represent Vahu and Vani. Because Prabhupada said that ISKCON is my body. And of course, the books are his Vani, his speaking. So these two activities, Vapu and Vani, when we serve Guru, we associate with Guru, we associate with Vapu and Vani. We often feel that we miss Srila Prabhupada very much. But I often remember Prabhupada's words to me, that I never feel for a moment that my Guru Maharaj is absent. He told me this. I said, I never feel as if my Guru Maharaj is away. So that doesn't mean he doesn't feel separation, but it means that when one properly understands separation, then there's union. And when one doesn't understand what is separation, when one is not feeling separation, then one actually feels as if the person is being missed. To cite another example from scripture, when the residents of Vrindavan were feeling intensely the separation of Krishna, who left Vrindavan, we know that actually Krishna was with them. They had Krishna within their heart, had firmly fixed him within their hearts. So my experience is that we also don't have to feel as if we are missing Prabhupada if we understand how to associate with Prabhupada in separation. And the two aspects of Prabhupada or of Guru are Bapu and Vani. And if ISKCON, Prabhupada said, is my body, which is Bapu form, and if his books are his Vani, then really these two are as much available to us today as they were during Prabhupada's time. If the Srimad Bhagavatam appeared at the time of Lord Krishna's disappearance, if the it states that the dark Kali Yuga will still be lighted by the shining effulgence of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the same way we can say that Prabhupada did not disappear because he left behind these two mighty aspects of himself, this movement and his books. And therefore I have never separated this movement from Prabhupada. I was just thinking about this, literally just thinking about it a few minutes ago. I took a little prasanna thing and I find that if I can't sleep and if I eat, it almost does the same thing. At least it gives some energy. And then I took a little rest and the rest was just thinking because I couldn't sleep. So I was thinking, and sometimes people, I was thinking how some devotees leave ISKCON. They leave ISKCON. Especially devotees have been leaving ISKCON more after Prabhupada's departure. And I was thinking to myself, why, you know, what is my response to this? And I was thinking that I cannot distinguish this movement from Prabhupada. I can't separate the two. Although, obviously, persons who leave this time do separate the two. I was thinking that maybe I'm like, you know, a Catholic Christian who, you know, like the Catholic Church has some very loyal people, but it has a lot of people who leave the church because they don't like what happens in the church, but they still, maybe they have faith in some aspect of it. Certainly, they're still Christians of sorts. And I was thinking, well, maybe that's it. In other words, you know, I was thinking that some people feel that the church is not, or let's say, ISKCON is not going to deliver me, but Prabhupada is going to deliver me. And if ISKCON is not there, and I don't need ISKCON, I can get delivered by Prabhupada. Or sometimes they take shelter of some other sadhu, and they feel that he will deliver me. But then I was thinking, why do I have so much faith in the principle of ISKCON, delivering them? And I realized that the reason I have that faith and why I think many don't is that they just didn't have a lot of association personally with Prabhupada like I did. Because if anyone associated with Prabhupada a lot, they would know that Prabhupada just continuously reinforced the importance of ISKCON. It was obvious from his own example that his life was dedicated to making ISKCON strong. And he infused that type of loyalty and attachment to the society and its growth in his close associates to the point where I can't, you know, think in terms of not being connected to ISKCON. And of course we're talking, this is supposed to be a book distribution, but I was trying to make the, first I was going to say that you know, the most important aspect were his books, but I have to say that I think it was equal. can't say it was just one way or not the other. It was equal. I think he gave as much time. In fact, in terms of actual hours of time, he probably gave more time to this time than the translation. His translation usually occupied about 3 hours. Sometimes he would work on two books, then it probably came to 5 hours. So, and if you add some more time to other things about the books, maybe 6 or 4. So in any case, that's a lot of time also. And in terms of quality time, Prabhupada did say that the best quality time was on his books, because he said, my books are better than me. My books are better than me. So I think there's something in that fact that his books are better than him means that every concentrated act of thought and devotion was required for producing his purports. He called his purports devotional ecstasies. And he said, if you want to know me, know my books. If you want to know me, it means if you want to know my heart, want to know my mind, want to know how I think, want to know what I am, know my books. And he would criticize them, his disciples sometimes for just selling his books but not reading his books. Because there's a problem with not knowing your guru. If you don't know your guru, it's very problematic. Very often, you know, we know our own minds, but we don't know what our guru's mind is. Just like sometimes I used to say, the Prabhupada would be talking, I'd say, I know. And I'd sort of almost cut him off, I know. And then Prabhupada would say, you know everything. And to finish the sentence, but you don't know what I'm saying, he would say. That's what he was saying. You know so much, but you don't know what I'm saying, so why don't you just listen? So it's not easy to overcome the tendency to hear one's own mind and one's own thoughts as opposed to actually hearing another person's thoughts. You know, that's a great art. In conversation, it's generally the tendency that each person hears themselves but doesn't hear the other. That's a very common fact in conversation. Or, at best, you hear the other person through your own thoughts. You know, your thoughts act like a filter. It's almost impossible not to do that, but it is possible. Well, certainly in regard to hearing transcendental instruction from the guru, we really should make an effort to learn to do that, to be able to hear, you know, what our guru is saying to us without having to filter it through our own thoughts, because obviously the fact that we have a guru indicates that we are not liberated, we're conditioned. And that conditioning comes in the form of a false ego, misdirected intelligence, etc. So, how do we get to, you know, practice this? Prabhupada's books are ideal opportunities to practice. Hearing from guru. And Prabhupada speaks in his books very clearly. I find sometimes that someone who reads his books becomes, you know, a very, very loyal follower of Prabhupada. Maybe more loyal than someone like myself who has had ample association. And that person may never have associated physically with Prabhupada, but obviously he has associated with Prabhupada's body. Of course, I also think that there is some advantage to having had that physical personal association. Because physical association gives the opportunity to see the guru upholding scriptural instructions in terms of time and place and circumstance. And much of what we have to interpret is based on time, place, and circumstance. So there may be a rigidity. There may be a rigidity in trying to understand Prabhupada only through his books. Now, if you add to his books his lectures and room conversations and walks, and if you add still more the remembrances of his disciples who were writing about him, then I'd say you have a fairly comprehensive picture about Prabhupada. I would say you'd have the most comprehensive picture possible. You probably would know Prabhupada better than anybody knew him, even when he was present. And there are some people who are doing that. In fact, I would think many sincere devotees in this movement are doing just this. They are making it their, you know, life's work to study Prabhupada's books and his conversations and his room conversations, his morning walks. And everything that's available, his lectures, you know, and gradually they're getting to be very, very fixed up in Krishna consciousness. So, of course, all of this is to say that primary recipients of Prabhupada's books are the members of ISKCON. They're the primary recipients. He said that. I wrote my books, first of all, for ISKCON devotees, which is why I feel sorry when ISKCON devotees don't take advantage of his books and all of his instructions. Secondarily, he wrote the books for the public. And, of course, it's again one of the wonders of Prabhupada that he could write with such a divergent audience in mind. It's not easy. Generally, you know, they say when a writer sits down to write, he should know whose audience is. And generally, the audience is not such a disparate, of such a disparate nature as his kind of devotees in the general public, because the general public is anybody and everybody. Still, I think that he, you know, I would say that his books are especially aimed at the devotees, but I think that they're also understandable by the general public, which is proven by the fact that many, many of the members of his kind became devotees by reading Prabhupada's books. So it does, these books do speak to the public. No doubt you have to have a certain type of qualification as a public person to appreciate these books. Because they're not easy. I mean, to say, they do require a certain type of sukriti, some piety of a sort, to appreciate them. We see some people, when they get these books, act so negatively that they'll hurl the book away as soon as it touches their hands and start spitting and cursing. I mean, I don't know if any of you have had that experience with the children, but I have. I've seen people do that because they're very impious. On the other hand, most people don't do that. Now, how many people take a book, and furthermore, how many people read the book, is something which we can't always be certain of. But we do know that the books we trust will gradually end up in somebody's hands, who will get some benefit, because Prabhupada, again, was quite liberal in how he interpreted benefit. He said if they just touch the book, if they turn a page, or you can go the other way, if they see one picture, read one page, or even, you know, turn the page, or even touch the book, Prabhupada said they will be benefited. So the devotees have quite a good deal of faith on these words of Prabhupada. And that's why this book distribution program goes on. He said every time you distribute a book, you take one step on the path back to Godhead. And devotees, you know, they used to count the book like that. You know, into 50, 60, you know, and then what's the value of a big book as opposed to a medium book? One was a giant step, another was a baby step. And we didn't have any maha big books, no mega step. But that was how it was. People were actually calculating, you know, trying to figure out, well, how many steps is it back to God? Well, metaphor. It was a metaphorical statement. But the point was that you were making the advancement, and Prabhupada would say, you're not only making advancement for your own effort, but to get some benefit from the advantage gained by the person who got the book. You know, that's just the same idea behind these pyramid businesses, right? Where you, you know, you get other people to work for you, and you not only get the advantage of you, what you've done, but what they've done, cumulative. So it's like that. You actually do that, and Krishna is just very capable. You know, we don't have that. We you know, there's so many things we don't do. Krishna is placed at a distance from us, and therefore, in other religions, he's bad as a concept, or but we have a very concretized understanding of who God is, that he's a person, and we have a theology which explains philosophically that he expands into the heart of every living entity, and he's all pervasive, and he knows everything, past, present, and future, and therefore he can calculate. He is this, you know, in a personal form, he has that gigantic computer-like intelligence where he can tabulate everything. If a human being can make machinery and set up an organizational structure where, you know, they can be aware of every business transaction that goes on in, say, 500 or 5,000 chains of their stores, if they can set up a system like that, that's a human being who set that up, then God certainly has the capacity. If a human being can create a system, then God has that capacity. And certainly, it may defy our human, you know, intellect or logic. Well, it's not illogical, but it may just be unimaginable in a sense. Achintya, inconceivable, to use that word. But that Rupa Goswami says, or Jiva Goswami says, that one of the definitions, or one of the qualifications for God is that he has to be able, he has to be capable of inconceivable acts. This is one of the aspects of defining God, is he performs inconceivable activities. In other words, if everything he does, you can figure out, that person's not God. But if there's certain things he can do, like what I said, that he knows every single thing that happens everywhere, in the past, in the present, in the future, then that's inconceivable. That is inconceivable. But he can do that. That's God. So he defies, to some degree, he is beyond logic and reason. And therefore, the principle of faith, or bhakti, is so important in Krishna consciousness. Because it's just reason can take you just so far. But then, you know, bhakti must take over. The principle of bhakti has to take over. Bhakti shakti, it is stated that unless one is empowered by Lord Chaitanya, one cannot spread the Sankirtan movement. The movement expands by the internal energy, by the grace of the Lord. Narottam Thakur says that this Sankirtan movement, Golokera Pramadana Harinama Sankirtana, it has come from Goloka Vrindavan. It's not some material arrangement. And when Prabhupada referred to his devotees, he said that you have all been arranged by as part of the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya. So this is a special potency that is available to anyone who wants it. When we say join the Sankirtan party, Prabhupada wants you, like that Uncle Sam wants you. I posted it, it was printed, remember that word? Prabhupada's pointing, he says, Prabhupada wants you. He wants us to avail ourselves of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Because by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, you know, one will get the mercy of Krishna. We approach Krishna, we understand Krishna. Kaviraj Goswami says, no one can understand Krishna unless they're blessed by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya's mercy comes especially to those who propagate the Sankirtan movement. That's why he did it. He did it to show by his example. This is how you get Krishna. You do same for your time. So I sometimes see that people make further effort and make effort to to understand Krishna, but if they don't have the mood of propagating Sankirtan, then I don't know how far they will understand Krishna. Because Krishna can only be understood when the heart is purified, cleansed. And the activity which Prabhupada seems to indicate will most cleanse the heart is the activity of preaching. Because it requires the greatest degree of sacrifice and surrender. Sacrifice and surrender cleanses the heart, and when the heart is cleansed, then one can chant the holy names. When one chants the holy names of the Lord with a clean heart, then the holy names appear before one. Nama, Rupa, Guna, and Lila all appear before us. So, preaching really is the element of sadhana which attracts Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special mercy. And I think that's why Prabhupada gave so much stress to preaching. Because in this day and age, it is calculated that for the population of the world, this will purify the hearts. It's not that, you know, sometimes people say, well, what is the quality of your preaching? What are you preaching? We preach according to the nature of the people we're preaching to. That's what we do. We preach to help them to be engaged in Krishna service. That's what preaching, that's compassion. No use speaking high, lofty thoughts if someone is degraded. We speak according to what they can hear. If someone is high and lofty, then we can speak high and lofty. A good preacher should be able to explain our philosophy on any level, to give all kinds of medicines to each and every person. Prabhupada's books are full of all kinds of medicines. There's something for everybody in these books. So when we read the Sankirtan results, where's my favorite chapter?
They went to Oklahoma.
Who?
Sarvabhauma.
Didn't they know they were supposed to come back for this?
Yeah.
What happened? Were they all right? Is anyone inquiring?
I think they were late.
Huh? Okay. So, what was I saying?
When you read the results.
When we read them. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. When we read the results, which come in the form of a competition, sometimes devotees have problems with the word competition. They can't quite make it out. You know, what, why? I mean, competition is something of this world. Why are we introducing competition in spiritual terms? Well, because Prabhupada said there is competition in the spiritual world. And if you read Krishna Lila, you will know that there is lots of competition, whether it's, you know, for the cowherd boys who can touch Krishna first, or the gopis, where they try to trick each other so that, one or the other can be with Krishna. There is lots of competition. But their competition is enacted on the platform of love. Prabhupada was given a copy of the Nectar Devotion printed in Germany, and he commented to me that this is spiritual competition. And I said, what? And then he said, they are pushing Radharani to be with Krishna. In other words, they're selfless. They're competing in a selfless mood. You see, we compete with a mood of envy. That is the problem. Competition is not pure, but our way of competing may be impure due to our own impurities. Just like we heard from the reading yesterday morning, I think, or the morning before, where Prabhupada states that no one becomes contaminated by going on Sankirtan. Sankirtan purifies, it doesn't contaminate. But you may bring your contamination into the process of Sankirtan. You may bring envy into the mood of competition. That's not good. Now, how do we know if we're not doing that? We become pleased to see someone else someone else's success. That gives us pleasure. Why? Because Krishna is pleased. If someone else is successful, what does it mean? It means Krishna was served nicely. And if the goal of our service is to please Krishna, how could we ever, who are we envious of? It doesn't make any sense. How can we be delusive? If Krishna is more pleased than he was before, and all of us from within our hearts will feel pleasure, so that person who was able to please Krishna more than me has given me the greatest pleasure, has made me happy and successful. This should be our attitude on Sankirtan. We do our best to please Krishna. We don't do our best necessarily to defeat somebody else. We do our best to bring more pleasure to Krishna. More pleasure to Krishna's representative. Not at the thought, oh, I'm sorry, you did so well. No. What's the goal? The goal is to give pleasure to Krishna. So I'm very happy that you could give so much pleasure to Krishna. And it has inspired me now to try and do better next time. This should be our mode of conversation. So it was with that attitude that we should hear the results of Sankirtan for the matter. And we have, you know, again, what is the purpose? What is the award, the reward? When Krishna told the gopis, what is the reward? The reward is your Krishna consciousness. The reward is not going to be some little gift that you get today. Because there's no way that we can give you a gift which can equal the actual reward of devotional service. Devotional service's reward is more devotional service. The prayer, Hare Krishna, means Krishna, please engage me in your service more and more. So, I would say that everyone is already rewarded. You know, today is just our way of expressing some appreciation. But the actual reward is from within the heart, that you should become even more fixed up in devotional life. So whatever awards, rewards, or whatever we are given, is just a token of appreciation and affection for efforts rendered. So having said all of that, I will now present our gifts and read our results. This I have to try to figure out.
Yeah.
However, it was not enough to be number one. Because although last year we won the marathon, this year the Los Angeles New Dwarker community did 3,000 points more. They did 36,520 points. Whereas we increased by 11%, they increased by 55%. In regard to Lakshmi totals, we sent in for the marathon a total of $81,000. $81,000, which was an increase of $6,000 from the previous year. The yearly total for us DBT remittances, yearly total for points was we have increased by a total of 7% from last year, and our total for this year was 81,000 points. Which, however, only put us in third place. We were beaten out by Boston Temple by a small margin of only 200 points. But we should recognize we increased by 7% and they increased by 29%. However, Los Angeles, New Dwarka was way ahead with about 30,000 points more. They have 110,000. Which was an increase of 38%. Pretty significant increase. Now, regarding Lakshmi remitted for the year, we increased, we didn't quite increase according to what I would have liked, but we did 150,000 to the book fund last year, and this year we did 157,000 to the book fund. So that was pretty good. We increased by 7,000. I don't have the figures for the other temples and what they did for the year, but I'm sure it will be quite substantial. Los Angeles and Boston will probably be, Boston will probably be over 200,000, and Los Angeles will be over 300 and maybe even over 400,000.
Wow.
So they're doing quite well. Of course, the next temple after us was Bharata Hills, who, Bharata Hills went down by 31% for the marathon. And for the year, they still increased by 1%, but they almost didn't change. And after that, temples did not do very much. New York was next with much less. Bharata Hills did about 56,000 points. New York did 25,000 points, and everyone went down from there. Vancouver, 17. Denver, 14. Berkeley, 16.
Vancouver did Denver.
Yeah, they did. That's where it is. Houston Temple was hard to even find. They sank from 14th place to 23rd place, minus 70%. They sent us here representing the Houston Temple. I think you better figure out how to change that. Okay. So we're going to get. give Nell some appreciation. Start giving appreciations. What are these little stars?
Next, at 18.65
prideful points, Mr. Bhagavan. Next, 38.50 book points. Now it's Pujari, Raghunath Das. I was playing his guitar at home. Can you hear? Tell him to come out. Come out. Well, he just take over the spoon. Next, with 42 book points, I'm giving him a special gift. 42 book points, but rendering me personal service every morning without fail, coming at 4 o'clock in the morning to assist me without fail, except a few times. Arjuna Krishna Das.
Huh?
125.80 book points. Back to Dan. We're giving back to Dan a special gift because he made a presentation of many towels to me. So I'm giving him a monster set of towels, which I must have used for I don't know how many years. How many?
14.
You can use them if you want. You can use these things. You can't use the socks, shoes, or chair of the group, but you can use things like this. And when it wears out, just give me your talents and I'll give you more. As you like, but you can use it. Up to you. It can be worshipped, but it can also be used. Next, 151.15 book points, Radha Seva Devi Dasi.
Got it.
Okay, well, it looks like you're getting three things here. A book, a t-shirt, and some notes. He did very well because he also assisted Mother Indra Nilamani.
Yes.
And his Lakshmi collection was 1,008 Lakshmi. I think the real gift that you got was Mother Indra Nilamani's training. That's the sure empowerment that if you want to, you can be a great book distributor for your whole life. No doubt, just by going out with her like this, you'll get that blessing. If that's what you want, you'll see that it will be effective. And if you want to be empowered, just remember her association, and you'll do well. Next, 307.50 book points, Mother Kumkumangi Devi Dasi. Which I think is very glorious because in addition to her being a full-time teacher, she was always cooking to me anytime I asked her. So I'm giving you a nice set of my towels. Maybe surrounded with useful. Next, 407.40 book points, quite a good score. 1,047 Lakshmi points. Mother Nila Madhava Devi Dasi. Quite a job. Well, you're bringing him with, here. You're bringing him this book and an umbrella. Book points, Radha Prasad Devi Dasi.
Traveling.
hard surface again. Well, it's a book by Schoenhart Kate. Then, in the fourth position, doubts, sixth in the U.S. for this month, and overall for the year, number 36. Down from last year when she was 29. That's to improve again. 2,085 book points for the month of December. Mother Rasamund Jari. So, number 3 in Dallas, number 5 in the U.S. and for the year, number 11 for the USA, with 2,126 book points, Costuga Docs. Now, the number 2 Manajis, have really done outstanding sacred time. Number two, book distributor would double the stupa. Did 7,250 lakshma points this month alone. She was number four in the U.S. for the whole year. Number two in the U.S. for the month of December. Second biggest book distributor in the U.S. for the month of December, Prabhupada's Marathon. Fourth in the U.S. for the whole year. What a great accomplishment. She did for the year 10,742 book points. In this month of December, 4,292 book points. Velocity, Davey. Some mistake, unless someone stopped distributing. Anyway, it's a mystery. A mystery number. So, with a phenomenal distribution, I can't even believe it myself. For Lakshmi collection for the month of December, 26,000 Who are almost as notorious as the Dallas Cowboys. So we want to give her also the most well-used towels of all. Since she has also helped to coordinate cleaning, etc. We must also make an honorable mention of Gopali Devi Dasi, who has done better ironing and washing my clothes than anyone ever did before. Without fail, she returns them every evening. She never misses. Anybody else who's ever done it has given me so many excuses, but she never does. She always does it, and it's always done perfectly. She's feeling a little ill. But anyway, we give her our special thanks. Special gift to my administrative academic assistant, who has served me very faithfully. It's one of those high blood pressure pillows, which I use. I think it's quite nice. I think it fits in with all those drugs that you keep. And use it like a placemat. Quite unusual, isn't it? Candy, too. Jade. Now, what were you going to say?
That I came from all this and that works for you, for yourself, and we have one for you to wrap, which I did.
Oh, I brought something to Radhakrishnan. Where is that?
Yeah, where?
Oh, green. Green, by the way. Here's from the Sankirtan Tan devotees. Looks like something for Radharani, huh? Some nice earrings for Shivanandana. How come he's getting so many gifts? says, Radhavinoda Prabhu, the Sankirtan leader, read the note, and I'll read the note. Says here, from Radhavinoda Prabhu, who is always giving us his support, encouragement, and assistance, this marathon he kindly helped seven of the top Sankirtan devotees by donating $5,000 to sponsor some of their distribution. Thank you very much from all of us.
$5,346
for the month. It's the month of December. 65,000 magazines. That means BTG subscriptions.
Crowdfunding magazines.
Those are not magazines.
Definitely,
because
magazines
give 20% of books. No comment. Small books, 9,296. Medium books, 33,778. Big books, 8,026. And Mama Big Books, 2,745. For the whole year, BTGs and smaller magazines, 98,664. That's double what the nearest other temple did. One book. 26,297 small books, which was number two in the country. Medium books, number two in the country, 68,973. Big books, we were number two in the country, 34,650. And Maha Big Books, we were number fourth in the country, 8,328 Mahabit books of the year. I think it was very, very significant what this temple has done. I'm personally very satisfied. I did tell him we would try to do 200,000 in the book fund. But I am very satisfied. I think that this is, sometimes people say there's a lot of problems everywhere. This community may have some problems, but overall, I think that it's a very nice community and very sincere devotees. And in fact, I have to simply say I congratulate, the brahmacharis, I congratulate the brahmacharinis, and I congratulate the householders, that each of you has done excellently. And I feel that you've all shown, transcendental activity within your ashram. Brahmacharis have acted very nicely as brahmacharis. Brahmacharinis have been very ideal as brahmacharinis. And the greenhouses have been very, very nice and have done exemplary behavior. So I feel very pleased living here. I feel protected under the shelter of Radha Kalachandji. I feel really, it's the first time I've lived anywhere this long and continuously. But it's only due to the nice association and mood that is in this community that I feel so happy here. You're all very, very nice, and I have no desire to go anywhere else particularly, unless Krishna gives me the boot. So I just would request us that one thing is that the marathon, we always do much. You have to see, we did 33,000 book points, total 80,000. We did more than a third of our book distribution in America. My only request is that not to slide away. The tendency is that January, February, March are usually very poor. And I would like to suggest that if you really want to keep the goal up, the way to do it is to actually do good book distribution in January, February, and March. It's bad management when you just... See, he goes off with his wife to Argentina, everybody goes into the woodwork. That's a good mistake. What you should do is, that when you see that the main two people are going away, all the other people should try that much harder to make up for it. Not to think, well, they're going away, so I'll go away. If you really want to take these, you take these when they come back. But if you're really smart, if you really think like a human body, if one part of the human body stops functioning, other parts work harder. So my request to you is, you know, don't let this January, February, March, you let this first half of the year becomes a ghostwriter's work. And I think also that some people here who went out in the marathon, I'd like to request that you continue to go out. You know, people like Neil Manova and Vrindavan Bihari maybe can't do as much, but at least you can do some sankirtan once a week or something. Because it does keep the whole mood of sankirtan much more alive. It keeps everybody in a more preaching mode. And I'm not trying to single them out particularly, but I'm giving as an example the two of them. There are others also. You know, Kumpulangi did nicely with her marathon. If you think about book distribution, Krishna will give you an idea how to keep it going. People like Rusty Pender can keep it going. It's not that they just can do it once a year. They may not be able to do it to the level that we just did, but something. And that will make the whole community much more enlivened. Instead of just everybody goes to sleep until next December. And you have to understand that if you want brahmacharis or brahmacharinis to work enthusiastic in January, February, if you do your little share also, that helps them. Because they see that makes it, you know, sankirtan spirit then fills it in the air all the time. So my request is that we let us maintain this. That's what one of the things I like, or one of the things that Prabhupada liked, is to see that things are maintained. That's the position of the mode of goodness. So many temples have gone down to a former great book distribution centers. Let us maintain this. In other words, it should be an accepted fact that there will always be book distribution, steadily and strongly doubts. That is a great threat. All right, I have to change my mind. I haven't done so. It was a very disturbed night. Good sleep. So I'll try to change some rounds now. And there'll be a nice, you can all come to the new NRT and have a feast. There's an Italian dinner being prepared. Your satisfaction.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Kesha gets some credit also.
Nice.
Did you have a cookie to pay? Yeah. Okay, Radhakan also. Where's Radhakan? Jai. 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 Jai.